You're listening to Charlottesville's Podcasting Network. I'm Dan Gould. On March 14, 2013, Richard Nicholas presented the second lecture in a new six-part CPN Thursday series entitled The Civil War Through Different Lenses. Finding the high ground was important to Civil War commanders for many reasons. Listen as Nicholas explains the role that this and other geological features played in the outcome of the war. Richard L. Nicholas is a native Virginian and UVA graduate. He obtained his graduate degree from the University of Kansas. Richard has worked for Shell Oil as a geologist, where he rose to the rank of chief geologist by the time of his retirement in 1991. Richard has had a long-time interest in Virginia history, especially the Civil War, and has written two books in the Virginia Regimental History series. He has written numerous articles for the Magazine of Albemarle County History. Mr. Nicholas recently completed a new book, Sheridan's James River Campaign of 1865 through Central Virginia. The lecture series was organized by award-winning historian and Charlottesville-based author, lecturer, and cartographer Rick Britton, in conjunction with the Senior Center in Charlottesville. Here's Richard Nicholas.
Tonight, I'd like to talk to you a little while about geology and some Civil War battlefields here in Virginia and up at Gettysburg as well. Now, I've got this thing down to about 45 minutes or so. It's a little long, but if anybody wants to leave early, please get up and go home. I don't blame you for doing so. And furthermore, please interrupt me. If there are questions as we go along, please feel free to stop me. And if I don't explain something that you can, in a way that is understandable, please let me know. Geology and the Civil War. You don't have to know a lot of geology, just a little bit of geology. That's all I want you to know, a little bit of geology. But before we get into the Civil War, though, there are some basic things that we have to do. What is geology? Geology is, of course, the science of the earth. It involves rocks. That's about all you really need to know. and we're going to go right from there, because rocks are what form and shape the landscape, or the topography, the relief that we see on Earth, the hills, the mountains, the valleys, and so forth. That's what we're interested in. Now, there are three types of rocks. I'm really going to boil it down. Three types of rocks: igneous, sedimentary, metamorphic. Igneous rocks, of course, are solidified, crystallized from molten material, like you see oozing out of volcanoes, the inside of the earth. Closer? How's that? Okay. If deep within the earth, of course, it's molten. It's still liquid down there. When it's extruded, where we can see it like a volcano, it's hot, extremely hot, just liquefied. When it cools off, it crystallizes, and it forms a rock, and we call that an igneous rock. Sedimentary rock is a rock, particles that are deposited in water, by water, and then when either a igneous rock or a sedimentary rock is altered in any ways by heat, pressure, temperature, burial, deformation, or whatever, it becomes a metamorphic rock. You don't need to know anything more than that. So let's go on to the next slide. Now, what we're really interested in is not the type of rock, not whether it's igneous, metamorphic, sedimentary. We are interested, for our discussion tonight, is whether or not, or how resistant it is to erosion and to weathering. Rocks weather. Rain falls on it. It gets hot. It cools off. It can expand. It contracts. It disintegrates eventually. The minerals break down. It ends up in what we Noah's soil, dirt. They are rocks, rocks that have been decomposed. Some rocks are very resistant to erosion and weathering, and some are less so. And it's relative. One rock may be more resistant than the next rock, but the next rock may be even less resistant or more resistant. So all we're interested in now is relativity. Now, here is a little diagram that shows some mountains up here that are underlain by this red color. These are igneous rocks. They're relatively high, rough topography, flanked on the margin by layers of sedimentary rock, shale, sandstone, limestone, conglomerate, and shale, and so forth. What we need to know and observe immediately is that some of these layers, such as the sandstone, forms a little ridge here. Might be a mountain range, but in this case, let's say the mountains are back here and these are ridgeline. The sandstone is more resistant to weathering than the adjacent shale or the adjacent limestone. And also the conglomerate, same thing, a little more resistant to weathering, a little more resistant to erosion, stands higher. That's all we need to know. We're interested in the high ground. Now, why are we interested in the high ground? Because every commander of every army in history going into battle has sought the high ground. Why are we interested in high ground? Let's look in the Civil War. These are some examples, significant Civil War high ground. We'll recognize Cemetery Ridge, Seminary Ridge, Oak Ridge, McPherson's Ridge, Culp's Hill, the Round Tops. Where are those? Gettysburg. Okay. Over here, Henry House Hill, Chin Ridge, Matthews Hill, Bald Hill, Stony Hill, Stewart's Hill. Where are those?
Manassas.
Second Manassas, Second Bull Run, some people call it. Lookout Mountain. Look at all the names here. Mountains, ridges, heights, bluffs, ridges, and so forth. Round Tops and what have you. They're all high grounds. They're all significant parts of battlefields in the Civil War, and there are many, many more. These are just the handful that I managed to put together. Why? Why is high ground so important? Well, in the earliest days, if you were up on the high ground, if you had a rock, you could throw it down at some guy. If you had a spear, you could throw the spear down or shoot an arrow down. When the guns came along, you could shoot down on somebody. You could see the enemy. You knew what he was doing. They were barriers to crossing them. The guy coming up the hill had to overcome gravity. You looking down on him. So that's why high grounds were important. Okay, not only for high grounds are important for localities, specifically for battlefields, but also for strategic movements, for movements of armies, because high grounds and low grounds tell us where the roads are going to be, where it's easier to travel, where the railroads are going to be, and so forth. So that's why we're interested in the topography. Topography is controlled by the underlying rocks, geology. Bear with me. We're going to get there in just a minute. This is a simplified map. Here's a more detailed map, geologic map of the state of Virginia over here. Colors you see from east to west, various layers. Those are the different formations of different age and different types of rocks. I have simplified it over here to show you on the east, coastal plain, relatively young rocks, flat-lying, undeformed. We come westward towards the Blue Ridge here. These colors are in the Piedmont province, highly deformed rocks, very old. Then we see this dark green. That's what we call the Blue Ridge province. And Charlottesville, we're sitting right there. We're right at the eastern margin of the Blue Ridge province, to the west is the Valiant Ridge or the Shenandoah Valley over here west of there. Now, if I had a giant bulldozer, if I could, a machine that could excavate deep within the earth, and I started over here in eastern Virginia, and I want to cut a trench right across here. I want to just cut a trench about 10 or 15 miles deep, a vertical trench. What would I see? This is what I would see is something like this. To the east is a coastal plain, relatively flat, undeformed rocks. Here's this chewed up mass of old rocks in here called the Piedmont. This big thing sticking up here in red is what we call the Blue Ridge Province. And over here in blue is the Valiant Ridge or the Shenandoah Valley. Now notice this thing, this is highly simplified, grossly simplified, but it basically shows a giant, what we call a fold, an anticlinal fold, that fold, the rocks fold upwards. This has been folded upwards and thrust westward. That happened about 300 million years ago when Africa butted over here against North America and deformed these rocks in here to give us what we know today as the Alleghenies or the Blue Ridge Mountains. That was about 300 million years ago. Now, that's all very interesting. One item particular I want you to pay attention to as far as the Blue Ridge Province is concerned, this layer of green rocks. You see it here? Here it is down here at the bottom. It's been pushed over thrust by the Blue Ridge. On the west flank, up here at Afton, you go over, go west to Charlottesville, go up over the mountain. You will see it up there, beautifully exposed. And then it's all eroded away now. It's gone. It used to be way up in here. It's all gone now. These are old mountains. Over here, just east of us, Charlottesville sits right just east of that little layer of green rocks. Anybody know what that little layer of green rocks is called? The Catoctin Greenstone. Catoctin comes from a locality up in Maryland where it was first named and identified and described. These rocks, red here, about a billion years old, give or take a few million. The green rocks, the Catoctin Greenstone, is an old lava flow, been metamorphosed. It's about 570 million years old, give or take a few million. Now, right over, this crops out. We can see this as we go towards Shadwell. There's a quarry out there. Luckstone's got a big quarry. Been there for years. We use it on our roads. We use it in our buildings. We use it everywhere. It's a wonderful rock. And by the way, I have some samples of each rock that I'm going to describe, and they're there. I hope you, after the meeting, you'll have an opportunity to look at. It's very resistant. It's an old lava flow, 570 million years old. Moving right along, there's a little basin over here called the Culpeper Basin. Let me go back one time. See this dark gray area right here? Little basin here. There are other little basins with similar rocks down, go down towards Danville in here. Scottsville is right in here, but the largest of these little basins is up here called the Culpeper Basin, and it runs from about Orange on up to Manassas and crosses the Potomac River into Maryland. It's a much younger basin. It's filled with Triassic and Jurassic rocks. You don't need to know anymore. Let's say they are about 250 to 200 million years old. They formed as little basins here when this big old ancient continent split apart and when Pangaea broke up and the Atlantic Ocean began to form. They were the first things that happened when the continent split apart and the Atlantic Ocean came into being, the Atlantic as we know it today. So these are little basins in here. Interesting little places because they're non-marine. They're lake beds. It was a desert climate at that time. full of what we call red beds, red shales, red sandstone, siltstone, and igneous rocks as well. Dinosaurs walked around up there at that time. They were inhabited in this area. Okay. We're getting the Civil War, I promise you. All right. Here's this Blue Ridge Province, flanked on the west by the Catoctin Greenstone of the Blue Ridge. Here is the Catoctin Greenstone on the east side. Charlottesville is right there, right there, right in there on the Rivanna River, right there. Come on up here, and then there's a little gap. Here is the Catoctin Greenstone going on up into Maryland. Washington is here. Richmond's down here. Winchester is up here, give you some idea of where we are. Culpeper, I believe, is right in there. Manassas is right up here. That's where we're headed. We're headed up in this yellow area, which is a basin, a little basin, small, geographically speaking, but a very prominent place where a lot of Civil War activity took place. It is underlain by these 200 to 250 million year old rocks that weather relatively easier than the adjacent rocks do. So it's a lowland. It tends to be rolling countryside. It tends to be flat-lying, and the topography is relatively subdued relative to the country to the west of it, relative to the country to the east of it. All right, now we're going to dig another trench, one more trench. We're going to dig a trench right down here now. This is down near Orange. The town of Orange sits right here. We're going to dig a trench right down through here, and here's what we see, this little basin called the south end of the Culpeper Basin. It's what we call a half robin. It's faulted on this side over here. These rocks are dropped down here. If it were faulted on this side, we'd call it a grobin. But it's only a half grobin because it's only got one fault. Okay, interlayer. And this, by the way, again, very, very simplified. These dash uncolored lines, these are the red shales and silts and some sands in there. Non-marine sediments, the red things, these big blobs of red, they are what we call diabase sills. They are igneous intrusive rocks. They have come up from below and intruded into these sediments. And you will note that where they crop out on the surface, they're a little bit higher than the adjacent sand and shales. These relatively soft. These are the Triassic red beds, relatively soft compared to these igneous rocks in this basin. Cedar Mountain was a battlefield early in August of 1862, and it's a conglomerate, very resistant to erosion. It's up about 800 feet. Now, here's that green rock again. What's the name of it? Catoctin Greenstone. Do not forget your lives depend on it. Okay. Your grades depend on it. Okay. Here's the Catoctin Greenstone. It's up about 1,000 feet. It's called a Clark Mountain up there. It's up near Orange, just north of Orange. If you followed it on south towards Charlottesville, the name of the mountain becomes the Southwestern Mountains. Keep going across the Rivanna River, it becomes Green Mountain. It's all one run, reason called green because it's got green rocks in. These rocks are actually green because the minerals in them. It's a high place. All right, we're going to get to the Civil War. Right here, keep in mind, here is Clark Mountain. Finally, 1862, August of 1862. General Lee, who has been down near Richmond, east of Richmond, fighting the battles, the 7 days battles down there, holding off General McClellan, activity pretty much at an end. Meanwhile, General Pope comes riding in from the west on horseback with a reputation that he's going to show these Easterners how this war is fought. And General Lee hears about it, and he decides, well, we'd better do something about General Pope. So General Pope has had his army up here now north of the Rapidan River. Here's Clark Mountain. Here's Orange. And this goes on down past Gordonsville and becomes a southwestern mountain. By the way, mountains, you have to use your imagination sometimes because they're very low relief. But they are high areas. Here's the Rapidan River. And here's the Rappahannock River. Culpeper's over here. Lee goes up on top of this mountain right here. Lee goes up there several times. As a matter of fact, a year later, he also goes up there. Why? Because it's a magnificent observation point. And you can go up there today. If you get past the lock gate, you can go up there and you can see this. And if you can, it's worth going to. It's a nice trip up there. We're up on Clark Mountain now. We're looking north. This, in the distance, is the Blue Ridge Mountain, held up by Catoctin Greenstone. We're on the Catoctin Greenstone. This low-lying area out here, relatively flat, rolling countryside, mostly open country, is the Triassic Basin. Lee goes up here, and he looks out to the north, and he sees General Pope's army. Now, if you were out there in the basin looking back towards Clark Mountain, is what you see. Notice how nice and flat-lying it is out there. These are the red shales. Up there's Clark Mountain, the high point. There's a radio thing up there now. We're near the north end of it. Orange is just to the right here. Magnificent observation point, though. And we're in a geological basin now. And by the way, at the time of the Civil War, most of this country was open. We'll see some more of this. But and the wooded areas tend to be confined to the rocky areas or the high ground. We'll get to that in just a second. Next slide. This is what General Lee was looking at. This is a picture of a Union camp in the Culpeper area. I don't know precisely where it is, but I think that's Clark Mountain in the background. I'm not sure of that. But this is a Union camp about this time during the war. Now, notice, this is what Lee would be looking at, only he'd be looking at it from the back there on that little that high ground out there, and he would see this, and he would see the rest of the Union Army out there. But notice, this country, it was treeless. One tree, two trees, three trees. Now, there's some stumps out here that they've cut down, but they farmed that country. It was very farmable, and people lived in the country at that time, and they made a living out there. They made a living by farming. And at that time, Virginia was practically denuded of forest. Okay. What does Lee do? He comes up here, he looks to the north across the river, and he sees General Pope's army, and he says, oh my God, what an opportunity I've got. Look at this. Look at this. He's got his army between two rivers, the Rapidan on one side, the Rappahannock on the other. His own major line of communications is the Orange and Alexander Railroad here, crosses up here a place called Rappahannock Station. If I can cut that railroad, I can cut him off from most of his supplies. He can wade across the river elsewhere, but that would be a major blow. So he devises a plan. He's going to send Jackson and Longstreet across the river here, but first of all, he's going to get Jeb Stuart with his cavalry, and he's going to make a dash up here. He's going to cut that railroad bridge up at Rappahannock Station. The best laid plans. Unfortunately, Jackson was a day late. It's unclear whether his orders were written got to him in the right time or so forth. But anyway, he didn't get there. That was what he wanted to do. Lee wanted to do on the 18th. He wanted Stuart to make a dash up here and cut him off, and then he would send Longstreet and Jackson across the Rapidan. Not only did Stuart was a day late, but Pope got wind of it. And Pope immediately said, let's get out of here. And he moved his army back across the Rappahannock River now at Rappahannock Station. And the next slide we'll see is 4 days later, we're going to see the armies lined up over here. Here they are. Here is Culpeper. Here is the Rappahannock River running up through here. Longstreet is down here. Jackson is there. Pope has a larger army, significantly larger than Lee's army, is entrenched along the flanks of the river here in a very strong defensive position. Stuart has gone on a raid up here, but basically the Union army is in a very strong position here on the east side of the Rappahannock River. Lee is over here on the west side of the river. What do you do in this situation? General Lee says, I will try to maneuver him out of his strong position. How are you going to maneuver him out of there? You're going to outflank him. All right? He's going to divide his army. And let's see what he decides to do. We're right back down in here now. This is where we are. Culpeper is right with Madison is there. Culpeper's right up in here. Okay, here is the Rappahannock River coming across there. Lee is going to take advantage of this green Catoctin greenstone. How is he going to do it? He's going to divide his army in the face of a larger opponent. You violate one of the principles of warfare. You're never supposed to do that. Because if you do, and the enemy gets wind of it, Pope, who has a bigger army, can annihilate Longstreet, and then he can go after Jackson, annihilate him, or vice versa. Doesn't matter. But Lee is taking a great risk. Now, he will do this again several times during the Civil War. Chancellorsville is when he did it again. But this time, he sends Jackson on a long route. Jackson goes north. Longstreet stays put and keeps Mr. Pope occupied. So he sends Jackson north up here behind the Bull Run Mountains, the Catoctin Greenstone. These are older rocks over here. But this is the ridge, little mountain run called the Bull Run Mountains. He sends Jackson northward to go through a place called Thoroughfare Gap. Jackson's going to go up there, come through the gap, and go down here and cut the railroad at Bristow Station. Meanwhile, Longstreet is going to keep the rest of the main Union Army occupied down there. Okay, next picture we'll see, we're going to be right up in here. This is a topographic map that shows the elevations. Here, these dark lines you see, these are the Bull Run Mountains. This is Thoroughfare Gap. This is I-66. See a double line coming through here? I-66 goes through there. Why'd they build it there? Why'd they build it over here? Because it's a gap there, of course, just like Rockfish Gap. I-64 goes through a gap. It's much easier to build, the railroad goes through there. The old highway went through there. These mountains are about 1,000 feet high. These are about 500 feet here. Oh, then over here on the east side, there's a big fault over here. This is the Triassic Culpeper Basin, the lowland. Note, much different country. Okay, next picture. This is an aerial view. An old picture. This is taken back in the 30s, as a matter of fact. This is a gap right here. This is the old highway that went through there at that time. And you can see here the wooded highlands underlain by the Catoctin Greenstone and the open countryside of the Triassic over in here, lowland. All right. If this is I-66 today, looking westward, here's the westbound lane. The eastbound lane is over here. This is north towards Washington, Leesburg to the right. The gap, you can see there's an obvious place where anybody could come through there. Now, think about that. Now, if Pope gets word of this, if he's really doing his job, he can put a regiment up here in this gap, and he can hold off all of Jackson's whole command. Here we are. This is what this section looks like. We've been right up here now, what we call the Bull Run Mountains. Again, this half graben thing over right here, fault on the west side. These are igneous rocks right in here. This is what we call a sill. It's intruded. It's intrusive. Intruded within the rocks. These orange rocks over here are extrusive. They're lava flows. You don't need to know that, but they actually came up and extruded along the surface at that time. Over here to the right, we see familiar names. Chin Ridge, Matthews Hill, Henry House Hill, all those names we know from Battle of First Manassas or First Bull Run. They form little low relief ridges that are held up by real thin bedded sandstone. The sand composed of quartz grain, made of silica, much more resistant than the clays that make up these shales. Chin Ridge and Henry House Hill are just little knobs. I mean, you're only looking at 20 feet, 30 feet, maybe 40 at most. That's not much of a rip, but it was enough to make a big difference when you're fighting somebody, you're shooting at somebody, and they're trying to overrun you. Okay, next, here is this. Now, I told you a little fib. I told you Bull Run Mountains are held up by the Catoctin Greenstone. It is, but only partially. So there's another rock sits right on top of it called Weaverton Quartzite, which is even harder and more resistant than the Catoctin is. So they both will hold up these mountains over here. See how geology influences our ancient mountains? This geology is I-66 going east. These are some of these Weaverton quartzites. You can see they're very rocky. They're up in here in the woods there. You can't see them very well. Very, very resistant to erosion. Okay, here is a topographic map of this. Here's Thoroughfare Gap. Here is our old Route 29. If you come from Charlottesville, you go through the Bull Run Mountains here, a little place called New Baltimore. You barely see it because a little gap there. You barely know you're doing, but you're crossing the Catoctin Greenstone. Go up here to Gainesville. Here is Gainesville, and that's where you hit the traffic real bad because here comes I-66 down here. This is I-66. So if you kept going, you would go along the old highway. But you come up here, everything doing pretty good until you get about in almost to Gainesville, and then it's bumper to bumper, and it's a mess. And I hate to go up there. Another point I want you to see over here, and where you sit, you cannot see it. Here is a high feature called Stony Ridge. And we will talk more about that in just a minute. This is a detailed map of Stony Ridge. I've highlighted the high ground in green. See, here's the ridge right here, other high grounds down here, and I'm not showing you the geologic map, but all these green areas are underlain by igneous rock, diabase rocks. Very resistant to erosion. Here is Chin Ridge over here. If you could see this, you could see the nice linear long, uninterrupted ridges, very low relief, but nevertheless, very distinct ridges. That's Chin Ridge. Henry House Hill is right over here. This is I-66. This is old Route 29 coming up through here like so. Another real important to see this broken line. That's what we call the unfinished railroad. That's the unfinished railroad that skirts along the flank of Stony Ridge. Okay. Why do we have Stony Ridge? Here's Stony Ridge, as you have already seen. Stony Ridge is underlain by a big diabase sill, which is a massive igneous rock that has intruded in there. It's a little younger than these sediments. Of course, the sediments had to be there first, and this igneous rock comes up and then spreads out along the within these sediments, and it's about 100. Last age data I saw is about 195 million years old. A very dense rock, very black, very hard, and it's a rocky soil. It's rocky, and it's usually wooded, and they don't do much farming on this thing. The farmlands are in these low-lying areas in these shales. Not only does geology have influence on battlefields, but it has great deal of influence on agriculture. Why do we care about all this? Because this is August 30th. Jackson has come over here now on his long route, and he has come back up here, and he has entrenched himself along Stony Ridge. Here, Stony Ridge goes on up in here. And his main line of defense is along this other yellow line. This is the unfinished railroad. Pope's army is in black, see, and Pope is not yet really aware of Longstreet over here. And Longstreet has just now getting there, by the fact, and Jackson has been holding on for dear life for a couple of days because he's greatly outnumbered, greatly outnumbered. He's got a very strong position, but he's greatly outnumbered. He's holding on for dear life. Longstreet's over here getting himself ready. Set piece battle Longstreet, they call him. He wants to make sure everything's in the right place and before he's ready to go. He's like, he reminds me of General Montgomery in the last war. He's a set-piece guy. He wants to have everything in order, make sure everything is in order before he's ready. Jackson's hanging on for dear life, and he's about to, almost on the verge of losing over here. The Union makes strong attacks up here along this line, and they nearly break through. Now, let's see. The next picture I have, let's look. We're going to stand about right in here now and look this way. We're going to look towards Stony Ridge. That ain't much of a ridge, is it? You know, you're somewhat, and we're going to see the same thing at Gettysburg. You're somewhat underwhelmed by the topography. But it's high. And the Union infantry has to start from here. They got to go across, and it's open. They got to go across these Triassic shales, nice soft rocks. They got to go across there. Then there's a little creek down here to Bob. Go up there on that ridge, and right there along that ridge, where we're going to see the unfinished railroad. Now, 2 years ago, when I was there, the National Park Service was cutting down and clearing off the trees up there in this area. It's been all overgrown. At the time of the battle, this was open country, and they're trying to restore it to the way it was. And I don't know if they're going to do it all everywhere, but I know they were working on it, and I have not been up there for several years now. But that's where once you get over there, it becomes rocky, and you will see the remnants of the old railroad. Railroad cut. It was never made a railroad, but it was going to be one. The railroad comes through here. This is northeast that way. So the Union Army was coming this way. They were coming this way. So you can see they have all. It was heavily wooded. every now and then you see a rock or two. Here's a diabase boulder, another one there, some scattered about, but mostly covered up by soil up there this time. If we go over here to the east a little ways, you will see the railroad cut a little bit better. You can see much more obvious over here. Now, Lee's men were lined up here in this cut, and they were fighting for dear life. And there were times when they were one, whether it's a true story or not, makes a wonderful legend. One of the Louisiana regiments is alleged to run out of ammunition, and they started throwing rocks. And they were throwing diabase. Whoops, got the wrong one. But here it is right here. Jurassic diabase. And they come out in softball size here, a grapefruit size thing. And they're very angular because the rock is fractured in the earth. And when they weather out, they fall down. But they're sharp, heavy, dark black. Now, you hit somebody in the head with this, you know, they're going to do some damage. Matter of fact, if you hit them anywhere, it's going to do some damage. So it makes a wonderful story. And there are piles of these things up there. You can see them up there. And they are said, I think it was a Louisiana regiment that ran out of ammunition and all they had left were rocks. So they fought for dear life. Okay, and I just threw this in here for interest because this, again, this picture is somewhere around Manassas. I think it's around Centerville up there. I think it was taken shortly after the first battle of Bull Run, Manassas. The only reason I show it, there were fortifications here, but I wanted to show, look at the devastation of the country. Nothing there. There's not a tree standing. It just it's nothing. When we heard about the wilderness, the battle of the wilderness, no wonder they had so much trouble because that was one of the few really wooded areas, forested areas. Okay, let's go to a look at a bigger picture now. How are we doing for time? Y'all getting tired? Okay, we're almost getting to the end. Manassas, down here. Here's Manassas. Here's the Bull Run Mountains. Here's Washington right here. The Blue Ridge come up through here. Harper's Ferry is there. Gettysburg is up here. The Shenandoah Valley, Winchester, Martinsburg, Hagerstown, Chambersburg up in here. Great Valley is called here. Shenandoah Valley down here. We're going to Gettysburg. This is in June and July now, a year later. And notice the outline in red. Can you see this red boundary here? That's the Culpeper Basin. It crosses the Potomac River into Maryland. We lose it up in here. It's gone. It's eroded there. Pick it up again up here in Pennsylvania and Maryland. There it's called the Gettysburg Basin. Red over here, red over there. So now here's where geology influences the strategic movement of armies and campaigns. The Blue Ridge Mountains. This you can't see it very well here, but the Lee's Army of Northern Virginia is going to come through these gaps. Here's Front Royal, one up here east of Winchester, and they're going to come through these gaps and go west up, down the valley, across the river, up into Pennsylvania. And they're going to be essentially shielded from the Union Army over here east of the mountains by these Catoctin Greenstone Mountains. And then they're going to turn through here, a place called Cashtown Gap, and that's where we're going to have the next big battle of the Civil War up at Gettysburg, fought on the same type of terrain, the same age rocks, and everything is just about the same as far as the topography. Here is South Mountain over here in Pennsylvania. Get one of these half robins here, Gettysburg Basin over to the east. We're going to be focusing on one of these red seals now again. Here is the Battle of Gettysburg. Gettysburg sits right here. The Cashtown Road that comes through the gap there, down through here. The Union Army under General Meade is lined up along what we call Cemetery Ridge and Culp's Hill, Little Round Top and Round Top. General Lee's army is out here on what thing called Seminary Ridge. Seminary Ridge, okay? And Lee is going to try and drive Meade off of that ridge. He's on a ridge too, but as we're going to see, there's a difference. This is just the high ground, just highlighting the high ground in black. Cemetery Hill, Cemetery Ridge, the Round Tops, Culp's Hill, Seminary Ridge, and these other ridges over here too. All of the, okay, this is a geologic map, Gettysburg, and here's Culp's Hill, Cemetery Hill, Round Top, all that red, all that colored in red, those are outcrops of the diabase rock, igneous rock, sedimentary rock, sandstones and shales east and west out in here forming the low country. Every now and then there's a, what we call a dike. A dike is usually a vertical intrusive rock, narrow igneous rock that has intruded up into the sediments. Okay. A cross section. We'll go back here. We're going to go, I'm going to dig another deep trench. We're going to go from Seminary Ridge east across Cemetery Ridge. Here. Here is this big mass of green. Now, this is highly exaggerated here. It's accurate, but it's very much exaggerated. The federal position is on top of this ridge called the Cemetery Ridge. It's called also called a Gettysburg Sill. The name of it, the geologist who mapped the area, is called a York Haven Diabase from the local area where they first named it. It sits in there. And then there, here is a Confederate position of the dike. A little younger, but it's an igneous rock, and it makes up the Seminary Ridge, and that's where Lee is. Now, Lee is going to have to drive across this low area and up here. Now, the difference in elevation may be 20, 30 feet. So you can see how exaggerated I have on my scale here, but it is higher. And it's a much more prominent feature. This is a view from Lee's position over here on Seminary Ridge along here, looking east. Here is Cemetery Ridge over here. Open countryside, just as it was then, underlain by the Triassic sediments, shales and sandstone. And the Union position, General Meade is entrenched up here. A place called a stone wall is right up in there. Lee is going to have to go across this open country and up that ridge over there. This is a view from the Union position on Cemetery Ridge, looking west towards Seminary Ridge. And notice this rock wall. Guess what rock that is? The York Haven Diabase. It's a Jurassic igneous rock about 195, 190 million years old. Okay, open countryside. And you are, it truly is, you know, you are underwhelmed by the amount of relief. They're not high mountains or in any sense. They're not even high ridges. They're low ridges, but they are very, very important. Another view, looking down where Lee was on Seminary Ridge, looking over here, here's Big Round Top, Little Round Top. They are much more prominent. Not much happened on Big Round Top, but a lot happened down here on Little Round Top. And not only was it high elevation, but it was useful for observation. And the Union artillery under a general named Henry Hunt, who's a really a skilled man, who utilized his weapons exceedingly well, he put a lot of artillery up here because he had a high point. He could see the battlefield, and he could, as Lee's men were charging this way, he was shooting at them at an angle, enfilading them, and he did a lot of damage. So here again, the die base, high relief areas played a real important part in the battle. Now, well, something I haven't said is that, you know, General Meade and General Lee and Jackson and all the rest of them, they had no more idea what the Catoctin Greenstone or York Haven Dive Base was than a man in the moon. But they knew what topography was. The names weren't important. The rock type wasn't important. What was important to them was the amount of relief and the topography. Okay. These are some boulders down there at a place called Devil's Den down near one little round top. I just sort of throw these in there. That dire base, they weathered out down there, beautifully exposed thing. A lot of fighting took place down there. How they form is they are fractured down in the earth. They are fractured. They get weathered, eventually rounded off, and washed away, soil gets washed away, and there you end up with your things like that. Okay, last slide. General Pickett was asked many times after, well, what happened to you, General? What went wrong? And he, as alleged, have said with a twinkle in his eye, I think the Yankees had something to do with it, which was certainly an understatement. But, you know, I like to think that, hey, the York Haven Dive Base had something to do with it, too. Thank you very much.
For the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, I'm Dan Gould.